go down and watch him at Bars and Glencoe, of course. Mm-hmm. And
Tim Hortons holiday drinks.
On the high board, delicious candy cane. He would actually touch the ceiling of the building. He must be going 10 feet above the fucking board, you know. You'll ask. And then he'd dive, and of course they come 2 inches from the end of the board. And sometimes they hit in their life.
Yeah.
You need energy to get
great admiration for diving.
The kind of energy that comes from a healthy diet.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd spend my life doing that for 10 years.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean,
like when you swam, holy shit, your head down.
I like swimming in a way, but you know, I did it in each lake, the 4 kilometer swim.
Just knock that off.
I did the 4 kilometer swim at Meech Lake quite a few times, but your head's in the water. You don't see anything. You know, it's kind of like being isolated from
you. See anything or nobody to talk to.
Yeah. If you're running, you know, if you talk, it really slows you down. But you pass the time away. And we used to sing when we were doing long distance with a needle stand, Pleat. She was kind of like my long distance jogging partner. She's the only person slow enough that I could run with. Everybody else is way too fast for me. But if I sang, I didn't have to listen to her talking. Smart, eh? Real smart.
No, I like team sports. And they seem to be, you know, the dressing room was a lot of fun even.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly football. Hockey and basketball, you know, you play the game and have your shower and get the hell out, but football, we were fucking around there quite a while. I'll never forget when Norm Carter grew of age. He always hung around Gadsby and Spence and I. We thought of him as a little shit, you know, and he was a little shit. He was about 2 years younger than me. And then he tried out for a couple of years for the football club, didn't make it. And then he quit school early, like a lot of us in those days. And never got his grade 12, but went to work as a blacksmith at Ogden.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back. He had made the team this 1 year. But he wasn't worth a shit. But at least he had the guts to try. And then the next year, I didn't notice that son of a bitch is 190 pounds. And one of the goofing around was I used to rub down the guys, particularly my buddies, to get in a hurry so we could get down to the beer parlor and have a couple of drinks. And so Carter's there, and one of the jokes was with the oil of wintergreen. I'd slap him on the cock, and these guys would nearly burn up. Well, Carter got up. I was already in my suit. He put one arm around my waist, picked me up. I couldn't do a fucking thing about it, and walked into the shower and turned the shower. He had come of age. And, you know, he played guard both ways. As 192 fucking pounders. And, a few of us would go down the game to watch some close buddies, like English and I. We'd go up to his house after the game and have a coffee with his mom and dad and wait. And it was Jeremy the quarterback. I forget his name now. He was American. He would bring Norm home.
Norm Kwong.
No, Norm Carter.
Oh, okay.
And Carter was punch drunk, you know, from the hits on the fucking head.
Yeah.
And, Kwong was the same way. A little chink, and then in 2 years, he fucking murdered the junior league. And his third year of football was a great cup. It was fourth year. No, I forget now whether it was with Stampede his first foot.
I always like the story you told of Gadsby playing football and then baseball the next day.
Pardon me?
That story about Bill Gadsby on the football field the day before the baseball finals.
I can't remember.
Well, one of your teammates was on the ground and Gadsby comes...
Oh, well, that was Don Petty, the fastest man in Canada. And he played halfback for West End, and he ran around the end, and I tackled him. When I say I tackled him, I was fucking so light I was scared shitless. Anyways, I got him, and he's on the ground, and here comes Bill, feet first, at his face. And that's where I said, Bill, don't, we're playing ball tomorrow night. We were in the Alberta fight. We're playing fucking football tonight. That's the difference between a pro and an amateur.
Yeah. Gosh. Or the time that you had to go take a look at the rig in Ghana.
Huh?
The drilling rig in Ghana. Or Ivory Coast, or wherever it was.
Both.
Yeah, so what was it you described? Describe how you, the day when you went down there after you found out it was blown up.
Well, Abidjan Harbor is, you go through a narrow opening and then it's got five arms. And we were one of the two lower arms. And tied up about 100 yards offshore. And the big Dutch tug that towed us was tied alongside us. Anyways, I go down to the dock and all the fucking French niggers are screaming and shouting and goddamn yelling. And then I finally get the message, I look out, and the goddamn mast is... You know, the thing's slanting over to one side, and the rotor the tugboat was, half a mile offshore, and so I had to get some, at least some negro to go out and see the son of a bitch. And so I get on and, the guy that was my representative who rode the tug all over the ocean. He took me, because, you know, like every vessel, they're compartmentalized so that when you put a hole in it, it won't sink.
Yeah.
That compartment will just, but we'd have to go through all those goddamn compartments, you know, open the door, and they've got the big wheels on them, and then shut it and lock it again, go in and cross it, and you didn't know when you opened that fucking door if a flood of water was, because we knew there was some pretty big holes in the son of a bitch. And we walked through, there was 11 compartments, and we got into all but about three or four of them, ones that had the holes in them. And we knew that from looking from above, what ones not to go into. Well, that was a scary son of a bitch. You know, and this is beyond my thinking as a Canadian.
Yeah.
You know, you read about all the shit here and read about how cruel the Jews are. It's the fucking Arabs blowing up everything. The Jews. The Jews retaliate, though, and do a hell of a lot better job retaliating. Just like at the Gaza right now, you know, there is a whole pile of fucking Arabs killed, and there's probably a few Jews, and they show pictures of the poor Arab babies. Show pictures of the poor Jewish babies, you cunts.
Well, yeah, and then Abidjan, it wasn't the Canadian embassy that helped.
Oh, no. The fucking frogs, they were all frogs. I speak to the phone, asked for the ambassador, he's at a cocktail party. I said, they just blew up a Canadian ship. He says, what do you want me to do? I said, stick it up your ass. And and then Pierre the First telexed the ambassador, we're not to fly the Canadian flag. So I phoned him and told him where to stick it to. I did get him that time. And I built the biggest fucking flag that's ever been built. Yeah, I had an interesting life. I dealt with stuff I didn't know a fucking thing about, you know.
Yeah, you always get into that, though. That's the reality, you know. They talk about all this education and training, and then they end up with people that are dramatically afflicted with the mental disease of university-induced stupidity, and they don't have the right guys, you know. It's like, they know what they're doing according to their university training, but they're no fucking good. They can't think.
Well, the ambassador and the consul... And the industrial commissioner, or whatever the hell you call him, they were good. And they were there, and they even, I was invited to cocktail parties to introduce me to, the ambassador would introduce me to guys that might be able to help me in business. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
And the consul was the same way, the industrial commissioner was very good. He tried to assist me because part of our contract...
That was in the U.S. Council, right?
No, this was the Canadian Council.
Where? In?
But the
in
American
Abidjan?
Council was a close friend.
But in Abidjan?
No, not in Abidjan. I'm talking about Israel.
Oh.
No, the Jewish embassy helped me in Abidjan. And the English one, and...
But if you look at the Liberal Party today...
Pardon me?
If you look at the Liberal Party today, and I don't follow it, so I don't really know, but it seems to me in the not-too-distant past, there's a huge Arab influence, Muslim influence. So, and you know what? Maybe that's the right thing to do in the changed world, but, you know, they talk about, oh, we're such nice people, and all this sort of shit, and human rights, and then... Actually, they're pretty good at just being manipulated, I think, by the foreign powers.
Yeah. Well, and what gets me, all the ambassadors except the Jewish ones were either fucking Englishmen or Frenchmen. And that right off the bat sets me on fire. I've been fucked by that Ontario and Quebec so many times in business, it's unbelievable. Well, me and the whole oil industry.
I think this thing about the Conservatives lost that election, it may turn out that's the best thing that could ever happen to them. Because if we hit a major economic crash, it's better to be in opposition. If financially this country starts to unravel, and the Americans, then you can just, you know, because people are incapable of doing any analysis, the media can't do any analysis, our academics fucking suck. So they always blame the incumbent, which is the wrong guy to blame a lot of the times.
Absolutely.
And so if this falls apart, dickhead, cunt, Justin Trudeau, will be in a bad spot, and it'll be a great opportunity.
He's going to bleed this oil, and you know what his fucking aim is. He's a communist. Take over the oil
industry. Well, his buddies will make billions just like his father did with the National Anger
We couldn't program. Get him to invest the French.
Fuck the Albertans Anger. Over, rob them blind, and well, they made a fortune when they changed the rules a little bit later when their buddies have gotten, you know, because nobody in Alberta can predict what those cunts are going to do.
Oh, it's god awful.
Yeah, I guess it's about time for another round of labor unrest, eh?
What?
I bet you the unions are going to start hitting hard now because there's just, you know, the normal wage is not keeping up at all. And they call it, you know, they're focused on consumer price index, but all of your expenses, like the huge portion is your house or rent and your car. And then you look at electronics. I was just in Staples today. Nobody's talking about the electronics stuff. It's not going down much. All the peripheral items are going up in price, it seems, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the cell phones are the biggest item, and they are going down in price. It's a lot cheaper now than it was before.
So which is that?
The cell phones. And cell phones, I think, are much bigger than computers.
I ran studies from 1980, when the big drop was, or 81. From the these are American statistics, and I ran it up to 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And the humorous part of that, I'll cut in. I started out on 8x12 sheets. Roosevelt, his budget was, you know, $200 million, and how much did he borrow? Oh, $100 million. Well, on my scale, it was so goddamn small, it almost looked like a similar thing. Right. You got from 1981 to 19 or 20, whenever I quit, 15, it took 10 feet high of paper for me to scale it up from 20 billion or whatever the fuck the numbers were, and $30 billion loan, and and so people aren't better off. Shit, I could afford a house on $200 a month. Shit, you really need $200,000 now, but they're giving loans for almost nothing down. This is fucking sheer insanity.
Well, you know what, I think it actually, but this is a really interesting key point because I'm pretty sure it was in the Elliott Wave Theory book on socionomics. Robert Prechter states that people often bring up this issue of, you know, the markets respond to supply and demand on the monetary side. He didn't say that, he said something quite similar, something a bit similar to that. And I've often thought, one of the big problems with markets, whether it's commodities or economic or if it's stock markets, is that people obviously forget there's a lot of supply and demand of money. And that has a huge fucking impact on the financial industry. So if you're sitting there saying, well, this company, it's, you know, its sales and basic profitability and the rest is doing X, Y, and Z. But if you ignore the financial side, you're missing half the picture. Because whether or not there's a flood of money or a sparsity or demand for this or all the money's going into one of these real sexy areas or something like that, I think that's going to have an impact. I might be wrong, but I don't think you can ignore supply and demand of money. And the interesting thing...
You can't have a commercial, and I don't argue with anybody, on something just built on loaning fucking money when...
You know what? I kind of agree, but on the other hand, that's not relevant to the argument I just said. It's like if they flood the money, the market, with cheap money, that money has to go somewhere. It goes to the big investment guys, and they're not allowed to invest in a lot of shit. It has to go into a lot of the standard shit. Bonds and stocks and the rest of it. And, you know, they're going to do it on the basis of return, expected returns, and on risk. sort of. And so when you look at that, you can say, well, the fundamentals are the fundamentals. That's really nice. But you can't ignore the money. And he, the Elliott Wave Theory guy, I think disagrees with that. But one of the things that I like that he says, he's one of the few remaining people that says, the U.S. Federal Reserve has no impact on interest rates.
Which?
The United States Federal Reserve Bank does not have an influence on interest rates.
Well, not anymore. People don't relate to it.
No, I'm talking about everybody believes that the Fed sets the rates. That's what's stated. But Pretschner points out that all of the Fed actions trail what the market's already done. They're not leading the market at all. They're following it.
Yeah.
And they were involved in this. Jimmy Carter, I guess, started it. This is what I was told by a Jew in Ottawa, right? A really smart cookie. And he said that if you look at the situation, you have to go back to Jimmy Carter because he started to put in effect laws or policies that would introduce social engineering of the financial industry. In other words, use the financial industry and stock markets and all that to and bonds as a means of promoting social goals. And with Bill Clinton, it got to the point where they basically put in place policies to kind of force the industry to lend money to politically correct demographics who could never ever pay it back. That was intended. But in order to get that to work, they had to give a guarantee. And how the hell Bill Clinton didn't get hit with the number one, if that is correct. Bill Clinton should be the number one scapegoat for 2007-2008 crash. You're going to turn around to me like all these movies, all these greedy guys on Wall Street, and they behave like crooks. Well, you fucking morons. You gave them a guarantee. What do you think's going to happen? Who's responsible for that? It's not the guy, you know, a AAA insane high risk taker on Wall Street is going to go for broke. I mean, he either loses it all or he's an ultimate, penultimate billionaire. What do you think he's going to do? If he doesn't do that, he's a fucking idiot. And he's not the type of person that's ever going to do that. So why didn't they blame Bill Clinton? Why didn't they blame the socialists and the Democrats? You fucking assholes. You're blaming good people who work really hard. And you lying, stupid, lazy, parasitic fucks are the one that's actually caused this. And you got off scot-free. But you know, the problem here isn't the fucking dumb socialists. The problem here is the fucking dumb capitalists. They never say anything about it either. They never defend themselves. In fact, the leadership actually is almost as socialistic. You know, they're all looking for an edge. And if they can tweak the system to their advantage, they're happy. And if they can go along without causing a wave and have consumers with a backlash that trashes their bank, their investment company or whatever, or leads to more law, they'll go along with it. What the fuck do you think happened with Vladimir Lenin and Stalin? These dumb shits went along with them, and they all ended up getting murdered in the end. Stupid fucks. You know, you either stand and fight or you fucking run. You don't do what you did. It's the worst goddamn thing you can do. But I'm surprised that Elizabeth Warren's disappeared off the radar screen. Joe Biden, that makes total sense to me. He's the type of lying, stupid shit that's perfect for Democrats. I mean, yeah, sure makes sense. The guy's, however he's a crook or lies or comes back on her word, that doesn't matter because that's exactly what socialists want. That is them. They are like that. Why the hell would they be unhappy with that? Why are you arguing that, oh, the socialist is stupid for electing in somebody like that when he's fucking exactly like they are?
Yeah.
And all of them are like that. And women are the number one. I can't find the recycle's full. I'm not sure what mom does. Oh yeah, I should take the recycle down. I guess that's what it means, eh? When it gets full, you take out the garbage, right?
I can't hear you.
Guess the best thing is just to take the whole damn box. Yeah. I'll be back shortly.
Okay.
Good. I'm just going to try to print out some documents on the printer.
On the what's that?
I'm going to try to print some stuff out on the printer.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. And you know what? I don't think any of the ideas are correct. Yeah. It's all simplifications, right?
Yes.
Theories and principles are nice as a rule of thumb, but in reality, you need to go much further.
Alongside the 17th hole. Nice spot to spend the winter. So this is how it stands on the first page of the leaderboard. Great day today for Charlie Hull. Remember, she's a past champion of the CME Group Tour Championship. She won 2016, shot 19 under for the week. Jessica Corder and Nelly Corder on the first page of the leaderboard. That's quite something. Let's go to 18.
Jessica Corder on the tee here. These last two holes are very different today. This has moved up, 389 the total today.
They played some pretty long shots into 18 yesterday. And today is that kind of dreadful hole location in that left corner.
Well, behind that bunker.
Now you kind of feel like Lexi Thompson needed that last one.
Tom, you were talking about her trying to keep her feet more steady and more planted on the ground, and those practice swings were trash. She was taking practice swings really flat foot.
For sure, and she really wanted to make that birdie on the last hole. You know, with this whole location, you almost feel back into the wind. This hole's going to play really tough.
Maybe keep your eye on her feet and let's see if she is doing a better job at not coming up on her toes so much and losing her footing. That's not her best.
Yeah, she said a couple of weeks ago that she felt like she was starting to hit too many wild tee shots and that she's more in control of her golf swing when she's flat-footed. That's probably a prime example of what she's trying to avoid there.
Yeah. Quiet her feet. Although Laura Davies has made a great career out of not quiet feet.
That wasn't exactly quiet.
No. All things are relative.
Each day, our planet awakens with signs of opportunity. But with opportunity comes risk. And to manage this risk, the world turns to CME Group. We help farmers lock in future prices. Banks manage interest rate changes, and airlines hedge fuel costs, all so they can manage their risks and move forward. It's simply a matter of following the signs. They all lead here. CME Group, how the world advances.
What happens when you inject Twist Face? It helps Tiger get faster. Brittany gets faster too. That's easy money, boys. And DJ's now got a better chance to lead the tour in driving distance. Over this guy. Except that we injected Rory's, too. And Jason's. And his. Sup, Rombo?
What's up, man?
And most importantly, we've given you new life in your club championship. Injected Twist Face. Only in the new M5 and M6 drivers from TaylorMade.
Your face. It's as unique as you are. NEC's facial recognition technologies turn your unique qualities into your passport to travel, retail, education, hospitality, and healthcare. With NEC, your face is your passport to a more interactive, secure, and convenient life that is uniquely you. Let your smile be your passport with NEC.
NEC.
You wouldn't do only half of your daily routine, so why treat your mouth any differently? Listerine completes the job by preventing plaque, early gum disease, and killing up to 99.9% of germs. Try Listerine. Need stocking stuffers? Try Listerine Ready Tabs.
Strength, power, fast, quick, smash, crushed, launch. Turbo, the new Launcher HB Turbo Driver from Cleveland Golf. Step up and launch.
Hi.
With your morning, Joe.
On the road. Your day?
At work.
Oh, good.
Huh?
Really good.
Great.
But it was longer than I thought.
Well, did you hear from, oh shit, Charlie?
Hey?
Did you hear from Charlie?
Charlie?
Wongi and Charlie?
No. Did they phone here?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, that's funny. She asked me to do that and then never phoned.
We worked incredibly hard.
I got some.
We were diligent. We're both bathed.
Why didn't you answer the phone?
What phone?
Our phone, about 20 minutes ago.
I didn't hear it. I was doing garbage. So.
Oh, maybe you were down there. Because, did you hear the phone ring?
Well, I answered when the guy came for the bathing dab.
No, yeah. I was asleep and I would have heard.
Well, I phoned when I dropped the other girls off and told you I'd be home in about 20 minutes. I got you a gift for looking after dab.
Is it what, this? Yeah. Oh, awesome.
So what did you walk away from me for?
Yeah.
Well, she assumed that you were going to have some too. He solved quite a few of the world's problems while you're gone,
did
too.
Ya?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I didn't have my radio on, so I didn't hear them.
You don't know what you're missing.
But Jeepers had so long wait.